10. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and he preached, saying, There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Gospel is a special kind of word, special kind of news. It's translated or presented as good news. And yeah, it's that. But it's much more than that. The gospel in antiquity is a word that announces a military victory that leads to the enthronement of a new emperor. It is therefore a victory of global significance, since the rule of an emperor is worldwide in scope. So the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is therefore the beginning, the announcement of the beginning of a military victory and the enthronement of a new ruler whose reign, being of the Son of God, is ultimate in scope. It's more than just worldwide, it's cosmic. And it's more than cosmic. It's ultimate in scope. In other words, it's a rule that is all in all. So where is this beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And what is the beginning of this gospel of Jesus Christ? In our gospel this morning, St. Mark goes on immediately. He says, as it is written, in some manuscripts it says, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. But our translation this morning simply said, as it is written in the prophets. The fact is that the word that St. Mark gives, Behold, I send my messenger before your face. He will prepare, or he will build your path. That word, in fact, is a conflation. It's a coming together. It's a joining of the Lord's word to Moses in the wilderness that we read in the book of Exodus and the word that the Lord gave to the prophet Malachi. Now comes what is written in Isaiah. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the path of the Lord. Make ready his paths. So from this, reading this opening of St. Mark's Gospel, the beginning of the Gospel of the Son of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before your face. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Given this beginning of St. Mark's Gospel, where do you think we should place the beginning of this Gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you place it at some point in time or history. Is that what it seems to be saying to you? Well, that's what it seemed to be saying to me for years, until I started reflecting more closely on this just last Thursday. And it suddenly hit me. No, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ actually is found in neither time and not in history. It's found in the word of the prophets. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ is found in the word of the prophets. Now that word of the prophets is not the prophet's word. It's the Lord's word. So it does not originate in the mind of the prophets. It originates in the will of God. It is given to the prophets directly from the Lord Almighty. This beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, this word of a mighty military victory, it is found in the world, but it is not of the world. This gospel is historical in that it enters history and takes a historical shape and form, but it is not of history. It is of the eternal God in heaven. It is not a word that is in the world as an idea from on high. Rather, this gospel of Jesus Christ is a word that is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is fully expressed not as an idea, not as the printed word, but it is fully expressed in an act of God. In the Old Testament, it delivers Israel from slavery. It puts her on the path to the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as we learn from Hebrews on the Sunday before Christmas, that promised land is not Palestine. It's not the Holy Land. It's not Canaan. Because the promised land, in fact, is not of this world. The promised land, as St. Paul tells us in Hebrews, is the city of God that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The foundation of that city, then, would be the stone that was rejected by the builders. And that stone is the body of Christ that was crucified and buried outside the city. And in the tomb, in the mystery of death, that stone became the chief cornerstone of the heavenly temple, not of this creation, not made with hands. So the scope of this gospel of Jesus Christ, looking at it from this angle, begins in the mystery of the death of Christ. And the marvel is that this temple of heaven, this eternal city of God in heaven, that in fact was what was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has its foundations in death, specifically the death of Jesus Christ. You see then that the gospel is a word that cannot be received without taking action. You can't just receive the gospel and think about it. It requires action. Because to receive this gospel means that you get up, having been delivered from slavery, and that you start walking on the path to the promised land. And that word of the gospel is setting before you. Now let's look even more closely. If the gospel begins in the will of God, and if the kingdom of heaven is in you, as the Lord says, and if Christ in you is the mystery of God hidden before the ages and the generations, as St. Paul says, And if Christ is the image of God, in whom we were made, as St. Paul says, then is not the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ in each one of us. Its beginning, in other words, is not restricted to some point in the past. It's not restricted to some point in time or history. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ is eternally present in our soul. Yet again, it does not begin in our soul. It begins in the mystery of the will of God. In the Old Testament, this word took shape as the Lord's deliverance of Israel from Pharaoh. It took shape as the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that led Israel on the path that led through the wilderness from Egypt to the Promised Land. And it took shape as the law, centered in the sanctuary of the tabernacle, which even in the Old Testament was seen by the prophets as sacred space demanding full participation of the heart. In other words, even in the Old Testament, the word of the Lord, the gospel of Jesus Christ, has an interior spiritual meaning. Now listen. Adam and Eve, by their disobedience, fell under bondage to the devil through the fear of death. Yet even as they were being expelled from the garden, the Lord said to them, "From the dust you were taken, to the dust you shall return." Underline. To the dust you shall return. Now the history of Israel, what would you say it's centered on? I would say it's centered on her return to and her taking possession of the Promised Land. But the story of Adam and Eve shows that Israel's deliverance from the Pharaoh and her return to Canaan was but an event in history that pointed to a deeper spiritual return of the soul to Eden. Not Eden, not as a geographical spot somewhere in the Near East, but Eden as the kingdom of heaven that is within you. And I would say that the gospel word to Adam and Eve, I would say that this is the gospel word. From the dust you were taken, to the dust you shall return. I would say that that word shows that the return to Eden is by way of a path that leads back to the dust of the ground. Or as the Holy Fathers would say, into the tomb of the heart, where we are dead in our sins and trespasses, as St. Paul says. And that path was not opened until Christ was born of the Virgin, when he opened the Virgin's womb. When he was baptized by John in the Jordan, and the heavens were opened. And when he was crucified on the cross, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And when he was buried in the tomb, in other words, when he returned to the dust of the ground, when after 3 days the tomb was opened, and Christ came forth in his resurrection as a bridegroom in procession, and from there he went where? Into the heavens that were opened at his holy baptism. And there he sits at the right hand of God in his glorious ascension forever and ever on the throne of David. This leads me to say that the gospel of Jesus Christ, this word that is announcing not just some military victory of one kingdom over another kingdom, but a word announcing a cosmic victory over death. But this word was beginning even in the dust of the ground at that moment when we fell and were taken captive to the devil. The word of the gospel of Jesus Christ was beginning in history, was entering history even then. Or rather, it was entering into the soul of man already as a word of hope, a word of promise. This gospel of Jesus Christ that is given in the word of the prophets has in these latter days suddenly come into his temple, as it says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, which is where St. Mark is taking part of this quote that he begins his gospel with. The Lord shall suddenly appear in his temple. Behold, I send my messenger before your face. The Lord will suddenly appear in his temple. Well, who do you think that temple is that the Lord suddenly will appear in? It's the Holy Theotokos. So in these latter days, the gospel of Jesus Christ that is given in the word of the prophets has suddenly come into his temple, the Holy Virgin Theotokos, and he has become flesh. Jesus Christ is himself the word of the gospel, spoken now to us in these last days by the Father, taking shape not as an idea, and even not as a message from some messenger like an angel, as St. Paul is arguing so strongly in his letter to the Hebrews, but rather it takes shape as the new Adam, who in the historical act of the cross is himself laid in the tomb and returns to the dust of the ground. He shatters the bars of hell. He breaks the bondage of the devil. And he opens Eden to all. Whoever wants to can now come into Eden. The way has been opened. This takes us full circle. The beginning of this gospel of Jesus Christ, originating in the will of God, is found eternally present in the mystery of our soul. This word is the voice crying out to us in the wilderness of our soul, coming to us as it came to Israel in the midst of our bondage. Their bondage was to Pharaoh, our bondage is to the devil. Well, theirs was too, who holds us in the power of death and corruption. This is the voice that is crying out to us, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. The paths and ways of the Lord that are to be made straight and are not terrestrial roads winding through some Near Eastern countryside. They are immaterial and spiritual paths. They lead through the wilderness of our soul and into the tomb of our heart, as the Holy Fathers would say. Now, a path is a venue of movement. Would you agree with that? A path is a venue of movement from one point to another. So let's say that these paths of the Lord that we are to make straight refer to an immaterial movement that is within us. And what would that be? It would be our will, whereby we choose to take either the path that leads to the tree of life, which is the cross of Christ, that goes down into the tomb of our heart, and to the gates that open onto the heavenly city, or we can choose to go to take the path that leads to the serpent's tree, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that are of this world that is passing away. With the birth of Christ from the Virgin, the Lord's first epiphany in the flesh, we could say the first theophany, the first manifestation of God in the flesh. With Christmas, with the birth of Christ from the Virgin, can you feel the climate of the church changing? Here in the middle of the winter Pascha, we catch a whiff already, do we not? Of the sacred fragrance of the Lenten spring, wafting from the tomb of Christ and tincturing the air of the church's liturgical worship with the sober joy born of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For God is with us in his holy church to lead us through the wilderness of our soul and into the tomb of our heart, back to the dust where we came from, back to our beginning, that we may come upon the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, that has now become the bridal chamber of our heart. There to hear the gospel of the destruction of death. And that's not just an abstraction, brothers and sisters. Death manifests itself to us, you know, in the yucky feeling that we feel whenever we're not doing the will of God. You know, the depression, the sadness, the grumpiness, the out of sorts. Just the feeling of yuckiness. You're already tasting death. And it's that yuckiness that already begins to dissipate as soon as we turn and begin to make our way to the tree of life. And in the tomb of our heart, united with Christ in the likeness of his death, we hear the gospel of our deliverance from the devil and the gospel of the enthronement of Christ as the King of all in our union with Christ in the likeness of his death and holy resurrection. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.